I would have loved to see Tampa when this music hit. Rhea Ripley going against Charlotte Flair for the NXT Women's title. Man, this match is going to be good.
All right, so sporting and entertainment events all over the world are being postponed. They're being canceled. But WWE continues to move forward. And now they come up on a weekend, a Saturday and Sunday. It is their jewel in the entire company. It is WrestleMania 36. There are some intriguing storylines. And so we turn to a guy that has his handle on everything, Greg Hyde, who most of you follow on Twitter. You know about his background. Stat guy Greg loves the sport. And we are pleased to have him join the program. Greg, thanks for your time. Welcome to the Gary Sharp Show in Omaha.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, first, good. Hey, first, let me ask you, because you're based in New York. How are things in your city that you love so well?
Things are not doing great right now. I live in Philly, based in New York, from New York. So the Northeast is getting hit pretty bad right now. But, you know, thankfully, I know a lot of people, this might be a controversial opinion, but I'm sort of glad that Vince McMahon has the show going on right now, because I mean, listen, we're running out of content. There's no sports. You know, everything that's been taped and produced is in the can and running out of that on a daily basis. So, you know, thankfully we have at least something that will give us some sense of normalcy while we figure out what's happening with this pandemic.
Hey, before we talk about WrestleMania 36 and on why you think WWE is moving forward with this, give our listeners a little background on how you're a lawyer, how you got involved in all of this and have become as popular as you have with podcasts and that and other things.
I wouldn't say that I'm popular. I feel like there's more people in the angry mob trying to get me up out of here than there are supporters. Yes, I'm an attorney by day. And interestingly enough, one of my clients is a radio DJ from New York. I think he's worldwide famous, but I wouldn't know. I'm in the New York bubble, Cypher Sound, and he was one of my clients. And I would listen to Cheap Heat all the time, which is the podcast that I'm actually on right now. And as a listener, you know, I would catch, you know, because like you said, I'm a lifelong fan of this stuff. I'm nerdy with it. I know a lot of the facts and figures. And so when people are podcasting and having a casual conversation, sometimes the facts don't line up with what's being presented in the conversation, not because it's malicious or anything like that, but just because things are happening so fast. And so I would listen and I would catch mistakes that they would make, Peter Rosenberg and David Shoemaker. And then I would, being the nerd and fan that I am, go to tweet them with the correction. And then after a while, I realized that by the time I get to them, they've already been hit with who knows how many tweets or people doing the same thing. Like, you said this, and it should have been this. You got this wrong. And so, you know, I came up with the idea that I could sort of be their Tony Reale and sit in, let them have the conversation and do what they do, and then at the end come in with the corrections. And so I pitched this idea to my client, who was a friend of Rosenberg's, and he thought that it was so crazy that it just might work. And then he introduced me to Rosenberg and Shoemaker, and they had me come in to do like a test show, I guess you would call it. And then I've been going back ever since.
Wow. So those of us that follow the sport, we know what WrestleMania means. There's this humongous buildup with all of the storylines over the course of months. And then you get to this greatest stage that is amplified by record number of crowd. Whether it be indoors or outdoors, I mean, it's just astonishing numbers. And maybe the WWE after this weekend will announce that there were 80,000 people in the Performance Center. But they have continued to move forward, and they've done a great job with their promo team and other things that have gone on to continue to build up. But of course, they cannot do it in Tampa, and they've gone indoors in Orlando, and they have taped it. I know there's a lot of money involved, but this is like the marquee event. Why do you think, Greg, that the WWE kept moving forward to make sure that WrestleMania stayed the course?
I mean, like you said, this is the show where so many storylines converge and they come together, and then WWE sort of can give you like a season finale of sorts. They put a bow on everything, and then you know, Monday, the Monday right after, they say, like, now that everything has come together in this big explosive way, this is how we move forward. But WrestleMania, I think, it's vital for storyline purposes, right? Because you build up some of these storylines all year to get to this point, and then to sort of put it on pause would kind of kill the momentum. I mean, think about a guy like Drew McIntyre, right? He needs the momentum that he has going into Mania for this to work. And even a guy like Edge, yes, he waited 9 years for it, but, I mean, with the Edge and Randy Orton storyline, the way that's been going, and for your listeners who don't know, it's gotten really personal. Randy Orton and Edge are two wrestlers who've been friends for about 20 years. 9 years ago, Edge was forced into retirement with an injury. Edge makes his return in January. Immediately on returning, he sees Randy Orton. You know, they have a moment in the ring that is a nod to their friendship. And then the next night, Randy Orton attacks him, betrays him, and then over the course of the weeks, attacks their mutual friends, makes personal comments about Edge's family, attacks Edge's wife. And then a storyline like that, with the momentum like that, it sort of has to end at WrestleMania. You can't put a pause on it.
Hey, so the past couple of shows have, you know, they've gotten better when you're wrestling, you know, at the Performance Center with nobody in attendance. You know, and I wondered, okay, when you hear WrestleMania is going to go indoors, what that's going to be like. But it appears to me, Greg, that the last couple of shows that they've done have been encouraging because they're finding, you know, creative ways to use their space that thinking, man, WrestleMania like this is going to be unwatchable, that actually could be okay. I mean, it could work.
Yeah, no, I think it will work. I feel like especially with WrestleMania, these crowds sometimes have become sort of show-stealing crowds, right? Mm. Where we make it about ourselves. You think about a wrestler like Roman Reigns, who, you know, through the course of four main events, has never had the crowd on his side to the point where the crowd almost actively tries to sabotage him and take over the stories that he's involved in. So in a way, not having the crowd is a positive because then the company doesn't have to deal with that and the performers don't have to work around that. But, you know, like you said, it allows everyone to be a little bit more creative in how they present the product. And being at home, maybe we can just focus on the wrestling and see, you know, what these people really have. If they're able to still engage us without the crowd giving us cues about how we should feel or what's happening, then I think we'll see that they are who they say they are in terms of sports entertainers and providing a product that people can really engage with.
And so it's a massive card. It's been split up into 2 days. They're going with the show so big. It's big enough. It's not big enough for one day.
Too big for one night.
Yeah. What does a successful weekend look like for WWE?
Oh, man. I think a successful weekend, well, here's the thing, right? This Mania is so unique that it can only go one of two ways, right? It can either be that our expectations of WrestleMania weekend and what it's supposed to be are so high that this show does not meet expectations and gets trashed, or the bar has been set so low for what this will be that they hurdle it and it goes down as like a top five Mania all time. Because I mean, the pendulum is gonna have to swing one of those two ways. There's not gonna be a middle on this. And I think WWE is gonna go with the latter, with the bar being set a little bit low and expectations being a little bit lower, rightfully so, because we're living in strange times. It's not that anybody's, you know, coddling them or lowering the bar for them, but I think this Mania is going to end up being better than we all expect, because remember, some of these matches are taking place, like we have a Boneyard match. I don't know what that is.
Right.
I'm assuming that it's not going to take place in the Performance Center in a ring. And so that's a match where they can, you know, give us sort of a more cinematic presentation to the wrestling. And the same thing with the the Firefly Funhouse match, right? They can do a little bit more. Edge and Randy Orton is a last man standing match. And now they don't have the crowd, so they can really go through the entire performance center. They can go anywhere. So I think with a lot of these, WWE, can go through and really polish it, especially with WrestleMania, I think, being taped this year. If something doesn't work out, they can say, you know what, let's run it again. Let's do it right, and then edit it to a way that we could get some 5-star matches out of everybody.
Hey, what year is this, Greg? Because Goldberg is a champion.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Chris Jericho was just a champion. I think what the one thing, Brock Lesnar is a champion. You know, Undertaker's having a match. But that's the thing about wrestling, right? The legends can always come back, and they're always welcome back. And in wrestling, we respect the legends like none other. Recently, you know, Ric Flair retired at I think he was in his 50s, and then went to another promotion and had more matches. Stone Cold can come out on any night and still be the most popular guy. So, you know, as much as I dislike Goldberg, because he's responsible for my favorite wrestler not being able to give us, you know, more classics with some guys who came in later generations. Mm. You know, he is the champion, and he's fortunate enough to have found a profession that respects the legends, and for better or worse, you know, with the way he's been protected, he's a legend.
And I know you're hinting at Bret Hart with that one.
Yeah.
But so let's dive into a little bit of the card. I know I haven't read any spoilers. Spoilers are out there in some sort, but I also heard that WWE is filming multiple endings. Like they're doing their due diligence in that regards to making sure that, hey, yes, this is taped, but you still don't know what's going to happen. With that being said, I know the biggest one was Roman Reigns pulling out of his WWE Championship match with Goldberg. If you had to choose somebody on the roster to take that spot, and I know I've been very vocal on this radio station about my dislike for Goldberg. If you had to choose somebody to take that spot and possibly take this title off of Goldberg, who would you choose?
So if I had to pick somebody on the roster right now to go in and fill in for Roman, I would go with Finn Balor. I know he just went to NXT.
Mm.
And I know he's down there for a while. I know his plan is to be there. And so, you know, going back up and going for the Universal Championship would be a bit of a step backwards in terms of his goals and what he's trying to do. But I would go Finn Balor. Just because as much as Roman Reigns can say he never lost the Universal Championship, Finn can make that claim too. And now, don't get me wrong, that was the storyline going into Finn Balor versus Brock Lesnar last year. So he sort of went to that well already. But, you know, this is WWE. And they could sort of skip over that. They could just, like, gloss over that little piece of history to tell the story that they need to tell of Finn Balor coming in and seizing this opportunity to take on Goldberg. That's who I would have picked. Or I would have went with a guy like Matt Riddle, who they hinted at already having issues with Goldberg, and there's some history there, and they could tap into that to get a fun match. The only thing with a guy like Matt Riddle, it seems like it'll be a foregone conclusion that Goldberg would win, whereas with a guy like Finn Balor, it's a little bit more up in the air. It's like, would they actually put the championship back on Finn?
So are we going to see this weekend this long journey for Drew McIntyre, that he's finally a champion, or is he just another guy that's fed to Brock Lesnar?
You're not going to like this answer, but, you know, Paul Heyman said it on Monday, and I think that when it's all said and done, Drew's going to be just another guy. Still special, still has that connection with the fans, but in terms of you know, going toe-to-toe with Brock, Drew's going to be just another guy.
We'll get you out.
Listen, I said you weren't going to like it.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, you warned us about that.
Because I think they've done a good job of building up McIntyre. This would be a good opportunity for him to become a champion.
I agree. It would. But the problem is, and if it were any other person holding that championship,
mm-hmm.
I would agree with you 100%. But look at how many people you could have said that about over the course of the years. Samoa Joe, Roman Reigns, all these people, Finn Balor, all these people that you could say, you know what, they've done a good job of building them up and making you believe, and then they run into the beast and it ends up being a brick wall. Like even that fatal four-way match they had at SummerSlam a few years ago,
there
were some guys in there, I think it was Samoa Joe, Roman Reigns, and Braun Strowman. It was like, you know, any one of these guys could be the guy, and they don't have to pin Brock, and Brock can lose the title, and we made ourselves believe, and Brock Lesnar did what he has been there to do since his return in 2012, which is to see the dream in the same way that we see it, grab it before we can grab it, and instead of delivering it to us, the WWE Universe, he crushes it in his hand and drops it at our feet as he continues to walk away with the championship. And I think Drew McIntyre is just going to be another victim of that.
And we'll get you out of here on this one, Greg. It's going to be a long weekend for WWE, but the Raw after Mania is easily one of the most anticipated, one of the most exciting Raws of the year. What does that Raw look like now as we're going through this pandemic?
I mean, it's going to have to look like the Raws right before Mania and the, you know, WrestleMania, right? No crowd. I don't know. I don't know how they're gonna do it. I really don't. I have faith in them because, I mean, listen, when their back is against the wall, and I've said this before and I'll stand by this, WWE turns out some good product when their back is against the wall. You think about that snowstorm a few years ago that right after the Royal Rumble made them have to cancel a Raw in Connecticut.
Yep.
We got a top five Raw that year, you know, even with some of these promos and things they have to do in the wake of the pandemic, you have people delivering some of their best work on the mic. There was a pay-per-view when some wrestlers fell ill, and then we got Finn Balor versus AJ. We got Kurt Angle in Shield uniform competing with Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins to take on some bad guys. So when their back is against the wall, they do it better than they do with a lot of preparation. So hopefully this Monday, the Monday after WrestleMania Raw, follows that trend and we get a legendary Raw out of them. But I think we'll just have to wait and see.
Hey, we appreciate it, Greg. Fantastic stuff. We enjoy the podcast and your time. And be safe in your city. We're all looking out for you.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me. This was fun.
That's Greg Hardy, who Stat Guy Greg on Twitter. He's got a podcast, loves the sport. And by the way, I'm glad he told the story because he's a lawyer by day.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? And to his point, WWE's back was against the wall when they came back from Saudi Arabia last year, and they delivered one of the best SmackDowns of the year, and they had all of their NXT guys come up, and they didn't lose a beat. So, I told you during the break. I said I'm more interested in seeing how that Raw is after the weekend than how the WrestleMania goes. It's my favorite Raw. I cancel all plans. If The Bachelor was going, yeah, The Bachelor would take a backseat to that. It's so exciting. So
the one there's a storyline with John Cena that I think is ridiculous.
The Firefly one.
Yeah.
Hey, but The Fiend is probably one of the most over characters in WWE. And Bray Wyatt and John Cena, they have a history. It was an easy story to tell with or without a crowd. And like Greg said, that's one of those matches, just like the Undertaker and AJ Styles match, where WWE can really get creative. It's not going to be in a ring. It's going to be at the Firefly Funhouse.
And I understand. I mean, they have some convoluted feuds that are out there, and this is one of them.
This is one of them.
Now, I'm glad Greg brought up and you brought up. The real one Edge and Randy Orton don't like each other as real people, which could be wild. All right, Brian Alvarez will join us at about 1:30. We'll get his side on what's going to happen with WrestleMania. All right, Dirk Chatelain's going to join us here a little after 1 in our final hour of this week. Thanks for being with us, everybody. You know, we've talked about wearing red today, our partnership with the Nebraska Medical Center, UNMC, to say thank you to all the healthcare workers. And you're wondering, just by wearing red, yes, little things do help. They definitely do by wearing red on Fridays. And thanks for the people that are in the medical industry in this community that are letting us know their thanks for what we're doing and that they see other people wearing red, or the kids that have come by and have done sidewalk chalk outside of the hospitals. Those people say thank you. Little things do matter. We're back with more of the Gary Sharp Show after this.